Good morning. The text we have before us for consideration today comes from the Gospel of John, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Dear fellow redeemed, in no other season are we more reminded that ours is a dying world than in the midst of winter. Frigid winds, dark clouds, heavy snow, these are no happy forecast. Often it is only the hope of the coming spring that warms our outlook, helping us to see past this bleak season to the vernal reawakening in the coming months. The cold of winter reminds us of many of our needs, the need for warmth against the cold, for shelter against biting winds and chilling snow, for good health in seasonal flu and colds. Certainly the needs we have in this life are manifold, even in a land as materially blessed as our own. The Apostle John in our text bears witness to a very specific need at a particular Galilean wedding, a need which was met by Jesus in a most extraordinary way. On the basis of our text and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, let us consider how Jesus provides for our needs, both at the perfect time and in the perfect way. Now our text begins by setting the stage of this account, the account of Jesus' first miracle. Chronologically, this was the third day after Jesus had called his first disciples. Geographically, it took place in Cana, a city in Jesus' home district of Galilee, where the city of Nazareth also stood. The occasion was that of a wedding, a time of festivity and celebration. And not only had Jesus been invited, but his mother Mary was also there, and so were his disciples. Now, as this wedding celebration proceeded, and we must keep in mind that the customary celebrations were lengthy affairs, it became apparent that the wine supply was running low. Mary's response was to turn to Jesus for the solution. Now, Mary's example of first turning to Jesus is one that we can all learn from. All too often, when troubles come, when needs arise, we look to ourselves, perhaps to friends or family, and all manner of people around us for assistance. Mary could certainly have approached many people at the wedding feast for help with the trouble, but instead, she turned to her son, Jesus. Now, Jesus responds, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." This response was not one of disrespect to his mother. Rather, Jesus was reminding her that it was not hers to tell him the proper time for the solution. When we turn to God for help in our troubles, how often are we not tempted to dictate the time for the solution? How often don't we pray that our needs be met in the time we see fit? Certainly, Mary was right in turning to Jesus, but only he knows best when to supply what we need. Now, Jesus' rebuke did not dissuade Mary. She clearly still knew that he was able to provide. Her response was to tell the servants present to obey whatever Jesus told them. She said, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Though our needs are often not met when we see fit, we trust that God will still provide at the proper time for us. Whether we seek comfort in time of distress, good health in time of affliction, or even something as seemingly insignificant as an adequate amount of wine for a wedding, like Mary, we trust that God will provide, and he will do so when the time is right. Now, just as Mary had requested, the servants at the feast were quick to do as Jesus asked. When he asked that they fetch 120 to 180 gallons of water, they did so quickly. Now, we should not be surprised that the wine which was produced miraculously was such exceptional quality that the master of the feast exclaimed, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." After all, it was Jesus who had made the wine. He was the Creator God incarnate. But evidenced here is the manner in which Jesus provides for our needs. He does so in the best way possible. Jesus can certainly provide for any need which we may have. And needs are something which we will always have in this life, because our needs are a result of sin. And not only does sin create the need for healing in sickness and comfort in sorrow, it is also the cause of our greatest need, the need for the forgiveness of our sins and for life instead of death. Each one of us is born condemned under the law and enslaved to sin. We can see this so easily in our lack of trust in God for our provision, in setting up a false god of self-reliance in our hearts. Instead, in repentance, we must turn to Jesus for forgiveness, for only by him may our sin be lifted away. For Jesus' provision was at the perfect time and perfectly complete. As Paul tells us in his letter to the Galatians, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Jesus entered the world when the time was perfectly right in order to obey God's law in our place and to suffer and die for our sins. Now, certainly we have many needs now in the cold of winter, as well as in every other season of life. But let us be confident always in our Savior and in his provision, trusting that he will provide for us and for our eternal good. Amen. We conclude by singing hymn 457.